H. Assel Moilanen, ongelmatonta organisaatiopsykologiaa. Podcastin tarjoilee henkilöarvioinnin erikoisyritys Asselmointi Oy.
Welcome, lovely listeners, to another episode of H. Assel Moilanen, where we blend wisdom with humor. This time we'll be talking in English. Today we set sails on a global journey to the world of burnout, and who better to guide us than the insightful Dr. John Chang, a beacon of knowledge on the subject. John is the founding father of the Global Burnout Survey. In this episode, we'll navigate through the highs and lows of the Global Burnout Survey with John. We're about to unravel mysteries and explore ways to navigate sometimes stormy waters of our fast-paced lives. So, fasten your seatbelts. Get ready for a joyful trip into the world of burnout. And let's Assel Moi with John Chang. Hey, welcome, John. Welcome, Juho.
Thanks.
Hi.
You can say thank you, John, and welcome.
Thanks so much. Really excited to be here today.
Exactly. We're in Sydney. It might be windy. Today it's been raining. We're outside, it's all good. But hey, John, you're the man of honor, and we know you. Everybody doesn't yet know you. But how about if you tell a bit about who you are and how you became interested in burnout?
Yeah, sure. My name's John, and I'm an industrial organizational psychologist by background. And you know, throughout my career, really focused on identifying and developing future leaders out there. And, you know, I've been doing that sort of all across the globe. I started in the US, moved around to Australia and Europe as well. One thing that kept happening to me, and I thought it was me for a while, was after working with a high potential individual in helping them kind of develop into the leaders that they can be, and you know that role finally opening up, I would be like, hey, congratulations, you know, you did it, you're ready for this role, the role is ready. And what they would say is, oh, I wanted to tell you, I decided to quit, or I can't take on any more responsibilities because I'm really burning out. And the first time that happened, I'm like, oh, this person probably isn't just cut out for this thing, or maybe there's another reason. And then it kept happening. Then I was thinking, oh, maybe it's my fault for pushing people too hard. But eventually, I think the realization came down to we are burning out some of our best and brightest within, because, you know, what happens when you find somebody who's really good and competent, you give them more work and you keep giving them more work until you burn them out. And this is what we're doing all across organizations. And we see this in politics as well. You know, you have all of these good leaders out there that mm-hmm. just are retiring or retiring early because of the pressures from work. And so that's what got me really into this place, that people, that we need to solve this burnout issue if I'm going to be able to keep doing my job. And so that's where it kind of all got started.
So where do you stand at the moment? Was it you that burned out the people, or was it the organization who burned out the people, or was it the people who burned out themselves by being too conscientious?
I think my answer now is pretty much, obviously the right answer is it's a little bit of everything.
But a bit of you as well.
The majority of the reason is the organization and the way that organization is structured, the way that our jobs are structured, pretty much creates this environment that you basically have to burn out in order to achieve these things. That is the cycle that we have created for ourselves. And that is what I want to change. We want to change into a much more sustainable way of working where people can do their best without burning out.
Yeah, that's good. Actually, it's great to have such an expert in place. We have some personal questions with Matti to ask you before we dive into the survey, which is obviously the most interesting part of the podcast. But because we have you here at our disposal, so we have a few personal questions to ask.
Is this like our own therapy session?
Yeah, it's like Dr. Phil.
Okay, beautiful. He's Dr. Phil.
Dr. John.
Dr. John.
Yeah, so one of the symptoms of burnout is cynicism, becoming cynical about work. And this has been personally for me a difficult thing to consider, because cynicism is such an integral part of my personality. So for me, it's difficult to differentiate between burnout-related cynicism and normal everyday cynicism. So what advice would you give for cynics like me? When are we just being ourselves? And when is cynicism potentially a sign of burnout?
One thing that we say is actually a change in behavior. Right? Yeah. If you are cynical, if you've always been cynical, and that's just who you are, that isn't, you know, that in itself, it's not. It's when those people who are quite, let's say they're positive or even neutral about their roles and become cynical. Yeah. It's those behavioral changes that you really look for.
It's always about the change.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when you see those big drastic changes, and from the people we work with who are either recovering or are going through kind of burnout, that's the thing that they always talk about is that change. You know, they used to love their job. They wake up, you know, really invigorated about going to work and all that stuff. And then now they hate everything about it. Hate the people. They hate the work. They hate that they're in this role. That change, that's what makes that difference.
That's good. So I don't need to be worried. I'm just being myself. There's no change in behavior.
The only change you have is in your pocket, buddy. So keep it there. Yeah, I've got a friend. We can call him Martin, mostly because that's his name. And it's nice to call people by their names. And Martin is an organizational, like a guy who works in a corporation, like a hardworking buddy of mine. And I keep telling him, don't work so hard because the organization is just going to remember you by sending you a fruit basket. That's as much as they care. So they don't really care at all. But he still sort of does his work consistently and conscientiously and just works too hard. What should we do with this Martin dude? So how can we change his behavior? Because we see the signs that if he continues this behavior, he might be ending up in the burnout bed.
Yeah, that's a really good question or a good example that we see quite a lot. One thing that we kind of advise sort of leaders is really to set clear expectations. It is not a always go above beyond all the time. You know, you got to set the expectation of this is what good looks like. This is what we want you to do. Don't do more. You know, when people have a clear state of understanding of, you know, what good looks like and they hit that, they have a they are much more likely to know when to stop.
Clear expectations.
That's right.
From everybody's behalf. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Just continue, please.
Oh.
Just wanted to sort of point that out.
Yeah.
To everybody.
And but some of this again, there is this issue out there with, for the last few decades, engagement has been such a big focal point for organizations. Let's get our people more engaged. Let's focus on engagement. Yeah. And I think it's gotten to a point where that has become slightly toxic, where people's engagement, people have also identified themselves to the job. So you are your job. You know, whenever you go to parties, so hey, what do you do? Like, what do you do is always like the second question after, you know, what's your name? We are so used to that as a culture now, like globally, that people identify themselves as their job and they don't have their own purpose. They don't have sort of anything else outside of work.
No.
That's very dangerous from what we see. And in your example, that's what we see in a lot of individuals who identify too much with what they do. One good example I can give you, we work with a certain nonprofit organization. They are a very large global charity, and their problem is they cannot get their people to stop working.
Yeah.
Because right now, as you know, there's a lot of conflicts out there. They work with all of those conflicts, and their people, you know, have this, if I don't, let's say, stay another hour, working on a couple more hours, there is real effects in what's happening out there. And so that, you know, that's a really tricky thing for managers or for leaders who want them to stop. It's not them, but they themselves can't stop. And so that's another example of like, how do we sort of separate people's kind of work identity versus their own identity? You know, we know they're really good people because they're working in these great charities, but also you need to take care of yourself and sometimes we don't focus on that very much. We just, when we're at work, it's always just about, hey, let's hit these organizational targets. Let's help these people we're going to be helping, rather than doing, balancing that out.
Yeah, what a great advice. So Martin, if you're listening, go home and get a hobby and ask for clear instructions from your boss.
I don't think Martin is listening because he's busy working.
But maybe this is part of his work, sort of getting ideas about burnout.
Getting a hobby, that's been one of my big things. People need to have hobbies. I think people have stopped having any external stimulation because we're all very busy.
And if you look at these kind of successful people making TikTok videos, their so-called hobbies are always something that contributes to the work. Like they have to do 12-hour shifts at a consultancy and then they go to the gym to work out. They don't really like the gym. They just go there because everyone else. So it becomes part of that performer.
I thought they'd take tutorials in Excel as their hobby.
Could be as well. But I actually have a somewhat related question regarding work engagement. And it's also a personal question. Matti is talking about Martin, but I'm only interested in myself and my own problems and how to solve them. So for me, I really like the money that I get from work and from our business. And without the money, I wouldn't be very motivated to work.
Yeah.
And at least in Finland, many experts say that people who only work for the money are not truly engaged and therefore more likely to burn out compared to the highly engaged employees. So yeah. Should I try to be somehow more engaged in my work in order to prevent burnout? Is it necessary for sustainable high work performance?
This might be kind of controversial, but no, I don't believe you need to be more engaged with your organization. I think we need to make space for people who aren't completely bought into the company sort of purpose. It's fine if you just come here for a paycheck and you're a good performer, you do what you're supposed to, that's fine.
Yeah.
What I would say to that individual, make sure you have a purpose. I think that is the overall well-being. Yeah. Do you know what you enjoy? Do you know what you want to do with your life?
Could it be like providing for my family and making sure they have a good life?
Yeah, that's right.
Having a good time myself while doing it.
Exactly. And that's perfectly fine. As long as you understand what your purpose is and you're clear.
Yeah.
And I think what the trouble is, I think organizations have been trying so hard to get everyone to buy into their purpose so that they work harder. This is sort of the negative effects that we've lost. A lot of people have lost their own kind of sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And so I'm very much strongly support that you creating your own purpose, which then will keep you engaged in the work that you're doing.
And maybe ensuring that there's kind of sufficient alignment with your personal purpose and the company purpose so you can kind of get along.
That's a nice to have. I think that's a nice to have. It's not a necessity.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Really, really helpful.
Is playing golf the purpose of our company? Because that's
and traveling.
Traveling, because that's what it seemed to be doing.
Sounds good for me.
H. Asselmoilainen podcastin mahdollistaa Asselmointi Oy. Asselmointi on 2020-luvun henkilöarviointiyritys. Ainoa asia, mitä teemme, ovat arvioinnit. Ne teemme kunnolla, mutta kivasti ja elämänmyönteisesti, ilman pönötystä.
Asselmoinnilla on 4 arvoa. Vahvuuspohjaisuus, olemme hysteerisen kiinnostuneita ehdokkaiden vahvuuksista. Kantaottavuus, suosittelemme ehdokkaita asteikolla, suositellaan tehtävään tai ei suositella tehtävään, selkeä ja näppärä. Nopeus, teemme arvioinnit asiakkaan ja ehdokkaan aikataulujen mukaan. Keskimäärin arviointin valmis 3 vuorokaudessa tilauksesta. Viimeisenä elämänmyönteisyys. Tällaista rentoa meidän kanssa hommailu on, niin kuin täällä radiossakin kuulet.
Kaikki tiedot, hinnat, palvelut ja tilauslomakkeet löydät nettisivuiltamme asselmointi.fi. Mene sinne, emme tuhlaa aikaasi.
Why did you want to do a survey about burnout? Like, what's the point?
Well, we wanted to see what's happening out there. I don't think there's enough information about what's happening to all of us. We've sort of normalized this well, we've normalized burnout, we've normalized, you know, working really hard, going above and beyond and things like that. And so people are not seeing that as a negative. You know, people, you probably all know the people who wear, I'm really busy or I'm burning out as a badge of honor, right? Like if you're not busy, then you obviously aren't trying very hard. You're not doing a lot of good work. You know, I mean, Japan's a perfect example. They have words for for this. But I think that's the piece that we need to turn around, that we need to make that not a good thing. It is not a badge of honor for you to work 80 hours a week. That is bad, both for yourself. Organizations need to be looked down on for making their people do that. That's the switch that we need to do. And also another sort of related kind of thing, I think everyone around the world, you kind of hear quite a lot about, let's increase productivity.
Yep.
We need to increase productivity. And I'm here to tell you, this is actually, working less will increase our productivity. We're not, you don't do very good work when you're doing 80 hours a week. You're doing busy work. You are probably making a lot more mistakes that you're having to then go back and do even more work on. This is great, tied into our research, that the less, you know, working, those individuals, organizations that's moving towards, you know, a 32-hour, 40 work week kind of thing, they are being at least just as, if not more productive than they were before.
Yeah, it's okay. Good to know.
How can less be more? More is more.
That's something Yngwie Malmsteen famously said.
That's exactly the idea that we need to get out of our head. More is not more.
No, okay, so he was wrong already 20 years ago.
Or 30.
30 years ago. What's the sort of... Well, first of all, I probably want to ask, what's the laziest country in the world? You said Japan, where people in Japan work really hard. Who works really little? Because just a personal question, I'd like to go there. Get a job.
Oh, I don't think I've. How would you? What do you judge that by? Number of hours work?
Yeah, or productivity. I don't know. How do you measure people these days?
Well, that's a really good question. I think countries used to use GDP as sort of, this is how productive we are as a country.
Yeah.
But now there's much. There's other scales out there. I think that's more inclusive of, you know. Yeah. I think one of the countries does a happiness index for their country, and that includes all of the economic stuff, but in addition, how the well-being metrics of a lot of their people. I think that's the area that I think we need to move into as sort of countries. We need to stop looking only at GDP. When we do that, that's how all of this burnout thing's working.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, that it's not who works the most, but who creates the most livable environment and the most meaningful life.
Yeah, that's right.
How about, John, thanks for your insights. Can you tell me a few key findings from your study?
Yeah. The first finding, you know, this is a longitudinal study. So for the last 4 years, burnout rates have been steadily growing by marginal, probably 3 to 4%. This year, interestingly, it's remained stable from last year. So the question is, have we peaked? And it's still pretty high. It's still around 38%. So that is still quite a high number. But you know, the question is, has that peaked? Because one of the things in this year's study that's different than in previous years, we have had a very large cohort of individuals that works in the four-day work week or the reduced work hours. So we've been kind of partnering with the Work Reduction Center of Excellence, who brought in a lot of their clients who have moved it to that. So there's a big population in there. So we can do a direct comparison between those two groups. That might be the reason, or maybe me personally thinking we have peaked. To a point. After COVID, there's a lot of individuals who's really reconsidering what work is all about. We're reprioritizing our work-life balance. And so I think we're at that line now. But then on the other hand, you know, you hear a lot of organizations are forcing people to come back to the office, and you've got a lot of lazy managers out there who don't know, or who don't want to change. And next year will be quite interesting to see. I think this is going to, 2024 is going to be a big battle for this.
Well, that's interesting. So good news from the global burnout study that maybe we peak burnout, or at least it's not increasing for the previous years or compared to the previous years. So that's obviously good news.
How can I ask another question?
You go ahead.
How common is burnout? Because if you look at LinkedIn feed in Finland, it seems that everyone is either experiencing or recovering from a burnout. So based on do you is that something you have examined in the survey? How common is it?
Yeah. So for overall global rates, we're looking at about 38%.
38% of people are burnout at any given time.
Yeah, are experiencing burnout at any given time.
Wow. So what one of us is. Burnout at the moment.
Yes.
Is it you?
It's not you.
It's not me.
So this is, actually, I want to ask you guys a question because, you know, we get a pretty solid Finland population who answers, who did our survey in the last 3 or 4 years. And interestingly enough, the Finland population is always higher than the global population.
In burnout.
Yeah. So to kind of what you were saying, it actually is, there's actually facts behind that from the population that we get. Who completes it? Probably almost 50% of Finnish participants are burned out.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? Okay, there's maybe sort of few ideas here. First of all, they mostly mine and Juho's contacts from LinkedIn. So these are the hardworking people that you just described, that they are either recovering from burnout or they're experiencing burnout or they're training for a triathlon.
Yeah, or it could be some kind of self-selection. People who see burnout.
Yeah, this is my chance to sort of voice my opinion and flag this out, possibly. But that's the way that you collect your data anyhow, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. We try to get a really good sampling of, but yeah, there's always that self-selection on who will actually take the survey. Although I tend to feel it's the other way around. The people who are not burned out will take it more than the people who will take it. It's hard to get someone who is burned out to do a burnout survey. The last thing someone who's burning out wants to do is do a survey. So that's sort of what we're. I think it's really interesting because, you know, I think for a lot of stats, Finland is one of the happiest places on earth, and you guys have great social safety nets, you know, all of those things. Yet, like, you know, same thing is happening there.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting. Phenomenon.
Okay, all listeners, go get a hobby, please. Dr. John Chang is advising you, get a hobby and stop complaining about burnout. And all those people who are not burnout, next time you participate as well, please.
What are the fields of study that are interested in burnout? Is there kind of differences in views between, for example, organizational psychologists and, let's say, occupational doctors who might have a different view on the topic?
Probably not by occupation. I think we've so the study on burnout started about 50 years worth of studies now. And what has changed is really changing the focus from individuals to organizations.
Yeah.
So it used to be that this was classified as some type of like a disease or individual problem that we need to fix. Right? If somebody's burned out, we need to fix you. We need to do something to fix you. But what, you know, in the last probably 20 years of research into this is that it is caused by organizational factors. So the culture, the structures within the organization, it will burn out anybody. Some people may last a little bit longer than other people, but at the end of the day, that is the problem. And that's what we need to fix. Of course, there's always going to be some individual factors in there. In our research, the last couple of years, we have done sort of a mini personality test in there because we always get asked, what about those who are people pleasers or type A personality? All of those things, will they burn out more likely? And the answer is within sort of regression models that we do to predict burnout, they do add a little bit of variance to it, but generally it's very small compared to the organizational factors.
Yeah.
Well, what can the individual do if you sort of feel that the burnout is creeping on you? Mm. How do you help yourself?
What I usually advise, the first thing to do is do a bit of self-reflection on, again, kind of going back to your purpose. What makes you happy and what do you actually want to do? Knowing yourself quite a bit, I think a lot of times that has escaped a lot of us since we're so focused on what we enjoy you know, making a living so we can eat and have a house.
which is very nice.
So I enjoy eating and having a home. That we forget, we kind of give ourselves up to, yeah, I'll just do whatever pays me the most, right? And that often leads down a pretty bad road. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you kind of take a little bit of time to kind of reflect on what is it that is important to me, that will start you down the track of setting better boundaries. So for example, let's say one of your non-negotiables is I want to have dinner with my family every night. And so if you know that that is one of your non-negotiables, you can start setting the boundaries of I don't work. I'm not going to work between six to eight. Yeah. And maybe I'll go back to work after that or something. But there is this one period that I know it's non-negotiable. I will not take any calls. I won't do anything then. So this is an example. Like, you can kind of start quite small from there, but really having that time to kind of self-reflect on what's important and what you want to prioritize, set the boundaries to make sure that that happens. And you can kind of broaden that out from, you know, if you actually in an organization, you can't quit. Let's start small. Let's start that small thing, and then eventually you can move up to bigger priorities.
Super.
What about if you sort of done your self-reflection and you're still sort of feeling a bit sort of wound down and burned out? Sort of, is there any resources? Is there a good book you can read, or is there a good movie that you can watch? Or sort of, what would be an easy next step from there?
There's quite a few good books, but I do have to warn you that there's a lot of bad books out there as well. You know, there's just a number of influencers, Instagram accounts that will tell you how to fix yourself and how to do all of this stuff. Just say no. But it's not that easy. At the end of the day, fixing burnout is an organizational issue that we need leaders to change their behavior and change the organizational structures. Individuals, there are certain things about setting boundaries that you can do, but I don't want to sound like there's nothing you can do. There's definitely a lot of things you as an individual can do. But I do, you know, for all of those listeners out there who are leaders, who are, you know, people leaders, who are managers of teams and things like that, you do have a lot that you can control to help your both help your people and also help yourself in managing burnout.
Okay, and what should the organization do? Sort of, how can the organization help its burned out employees?
Well, I think for organizations, it's about making sure you don't burn out your employees. Once someone is experiencing burnout, it's quite difficult to get them out of that state. That actually requires a lot of time and actually another specialty in doing that. But I think for organizations and for leaders, the onus on them is to make sure you don't burn people out. So one common thing that I've been doing with my clients is on education. So educating your leaders on what are the root causes of burnout? What actually is burnout? What is not burnout? There's that whole education piece that we're missing at the moment. I think leaders are still in the let's work our people as hard as possible, and then, you know, maybe they can have a break later. when they burn out. But so there's that education. That's what we've been finding. There's a lot of aha moments in these workshops that we do with leaders on what are the behaviors that you do that will cause burnout. So that kind of leadership shadow kind of thing, but it's almost like a burnout shadow of when you request something at the last minute, this is all of the things that happens because of that. When you don't say no to a client who wants something right away, this is what happens to your team. You know, just some of those realizations is quite important. And then after that, one of the most common things that's happening now is it's kind of relooking at job design.
Yeah.
For years, we have forgotten how to do job design. We've forgotten to do job design. We just keep adding more and more things on people's jobs. You're probably hired for one thing, but within 2 years, you probably have doubled the responsibilities of what you have, because we don't regularly review jobs.
Or we don't remove anything from the job description.
Yes, and
we always add things.
Yeah, it's only add. We never remove anything. And those two things, they're not sexy. They're not like, I wish I could just tell you, like, go do some yoga, do some Pilates. And although I'm really big into Pilates, cause everybody should do that because it's good for flexibility.
So you do advise people to go do Pilates. Yeah.
And there's a lot of HR people listening to us in Europe. And just to put a bit of an ad out there, John is more than happy to have a webinar or fly to Europe and tell about workplace burnout to you guys. So just reach out to John Chang and he'll happily come and tell you what you should be doing in your organization. And he'll invoice you in a very moderate and good way. Or maybe he invoices you a lot and says to a lot of
things. He's worth it. So don't worry about the invoice. He's exactly. definitely worth it. The money.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, John has done a great job and he's happy to come and consult to you as well. If I could sort of see my own manager being sort of struggling burnout, what can I do as a subordinate, somebody who's a team member in somebody's team? How can I help my manager?
I think the biggest thing is to kind of have, if you have that trust and you have that psychological safety to have this conversation, really is to just open up the conversation and make it okay for them to talk about it, especially for a manager. Typically, that's not an easy conversation for anyone to actually talk about. Actually, I think corporately, it's still not quite safe to say, hey, I'm struggling a little bit here, or I'm really feeling like I can't perform at the same level. That can be, you know, very detrimental for your career if you admit that kind of thing. And so creating that space within your own team to make that okay to kind of talk about is very important. And so I think if you are a subordinate trying to talk to your manager about it, if it's just you, it is tricky unless you have that really good relationship with your manager. What I would suggest, you know, if you're a team, talk to the other team members, talk and have that conversation more openly, you know, in a team meeting or things like that, where everyone knows we're going to talk about this and everybody will contribute. And that will make the manager feel a little bit better about contributing, you know, what their own experiences are as well.
Well, super good. Hey, thanks, John. It's about the half an hour or so that we have reserved for this, but what would be a thing that we haven't asked you that you wanted to tell about in this show or to our listeners?
Yeah. I think it would be that there's, you know, we are in the beginning of 2024. Everybody's got all of these great things that they want to do this year. Taking care of yourself and making sure that your workplace and also within your life is in a sustainable stage, and you're not just trying to reach for all of these things that other people tell you that you need to be achieving. That's probably the most important thing this year. Let's make this a very sustainable year for everyone.
So more moderate targets for yourself and for your attainments or achievements.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, good. What about you, Hom? What's your most important goal for the year?
To get fit by 40. I'm turning 40 in October, so my goal is to be in the best shape in my whole life. Let's see how that turns out.
Okay, we'll have a Cooper's test next week.
Looking forward.
We'll see how that goes.
Climb to Lake Tekapo or whatever.
Tekapo. Tekapo. Climb to Lake Tekapo.
Yeah.
Okay, that shall be interesting.
It will require a lot of muscle power.
Hey, thank you, John. Thanks for joining us. You can hear the plains of Sydney, skies, maybe some birds. There's some ibis birds. Everybody thinks that they're these tremendously beautiful white birds, which they are, but they're also called bin chicken because they are hanging out in the bin. So on that note, thank you, John. Thank you, Juho.
Thanks.
Thank you, listeners. Don't get burned out. Go and do yoga. Go and sort of think about your own little goals.
Eat oranges.
Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Great job.